Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Josh Gunter now.
Tonight we finish the last night in our teaching, Prophet, Priest, and King. Have y'all enjoyed this? Thank you for y'all too who really enjoyed this. Prophet, Priest, and King. We've been on this for the past couple weeks, and we've been growing in our understanding of our individual roles as a prophet, priest, and tonight, King of Jesus, of God, not King over Jesus, obviously, but in the heavenly kingdom is what we'll be discussing tonight, our roles as heavenly minded people, as kings in a heavenly kingdom. As we've already talked about, it's pretty obvious that a big problem in the church is that there's an identity problem. There's an identity crisis. We don't know who we are in Christ. People get saved and they're on their way to heaven, but they have no idea the responsibility that claiming Christ actually puts on a person's life. We don't realize the authority that we have. We don't understand the purpose or the roles that we are to fill as Christians, as followers of the man Jesus Christ. And so this, it's all over the nation. If we had a group of people, if we had a church, if just the percentage of people in America would say, I know who I am in Christ, I know who Christ is, and I know who I'm supposed to be, our nation would be fixed. I mean, all the situations going on, we just wouldn't see them. Abortion wouldn't be a problem. Same-sex marriage wouldn't be a problem. We would vote biblical because we would know the heart of God as prophets of God. See, our nation needs us to know who we are. Your community, your family, your coworkers, they need you to know that you're not just a Christian that don't have to go to hell anymore, but you are a Christian who intimately knows God and you're representing God to them. And we all know that society needs us as priests to be interceding on their behalf. Today, I was just reading in my own little scripture reading about Moses and how God was, he planned to destroy Israel at one time. And Moses went in and he interceded on behalf of the people and God saved the whole group of people because of that one man. Abraham did the same thing. Praying for, we all know, let's be very transparent tonight. The community of Hurley needs us interceding for the community of Hurley. They need us. Republic, Aurora, Marionville, Clever, Springfield. I believe 100% with all my heart that the Soji ordinance that went on a couple years ago got repealed because of God's people interceding, acting as prophets and priests. I believe that our president became president because of God's people interceding and doing what God called them to do. See, we have things in life that we're supposed to be doing and not just be waiting for Jesus to come back and not just be waiting to get to go to heaven. So, let's look at our role as kings on this earth, what we're supposed to be doing. Throughout the Gospels, if you've ever read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you see Jesus speaking about the kingdom of heaven quite a bit. In fact, it's a topic that he spoke of constantly. All throughout Scripture, through the Gospels, we see Jesus saying the kingdom of heaven is like this, or the kingdom of God is like this, or these are those who inherit the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, his kingdom. All throughout Scripture, we see this is a topic that he speaks on quite a bit. Throughout the Gospels, he mentions the kingdom over 100 times. If Jesus is mentioning something over 100 times, of course, some of those would be overlapping, but obviously it is very important that it's in Scripture that many times for us to look at. And whenever he speaks about the kingdom of heaven, about God's kingdom, he's not just talking about some future glory. He's talking about the present. John the Baptist comes and he says, repent. Why repent? Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's very close. It's coming up. It's real close. And Jesus, when he shows up, he starts preaching the kingdom of heaven. Is here. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. He spoke about it all that. He starts giving us instruction on what the kingdom of heaven looks like. So this is how we operate. This is the things we do. These are the things we don't do. All throughout the centuries, we see a lot of kingdoms coming and going, right? There's that old song, kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. See, Jesus' kingdom is eternal, but we've seen a lot of kingdoms rise and fall through the centuries, right? And there's something about each of these kingdoms that they're each kingdom has their own customs and their own lifestyle and the things that they do in that kingdom, the things they don't do. And when Jesus came, his job, his ministry, what he did obviously was to save us, but was to get us established back in the kingdom of heaven and show us, look, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. This is the way we are to operate. And a lot of people I've heard a lot of people say the Bible's not a bunch of do's and don'ts, and it's not just a bunch of do's and don'ts, but there are a lot of do's and don'ts in the Bible. And he came to establish these are the do's in the kingdom, these are the don'ts in the kingdom. This is the way we live, but we teach that, and then a lot of the people hearing that word says, oh, there's nothing I have to do anymore. It's not a bunch of do's and don'ts. But when Jesus says, love your enemy, that is a do. That's something you should do. And that's what's something in the kingdom we should do. And not just that topic, but all throughout scripture, he tells us how to operate in the kingdom because he is a king to establish his kingdom on this earth. All right. This is the found. If you can only get one thing tonight, this is the statement I want us to get. Because the kingdom of heaven isn't, like I said, a far-off future glory state. It's not the kingdom of heaven, oh, when we get to heaven, we'll be operating in the kingdom of heaven. Now, obviously, we will. And a lot of times when Jesus spoke on the kingdom, he was speaking about the present. Sometimes he's speaking about the future. But here's what I want us to get as I'm thinking about, okay, God, what is the kingdom of heaven? I read through the scriptures. I see God saying, this is the kingdom of heaven. This is like the kingdom of heaven. So what is it? Now, I'm praying about it, seeking the Lord. This is kind of my own little definition that I've put together. And I believe that this is kind of the foundation of what we're talking about tonight. The kingdom of heaven is a lifestyle. It's not just a place, but it's a lifestyle in which God desires each and every one of us to live every day of our life. While we're here on earth, the kingdom of heaven is a lifestyle in which we live every single day. When we go to our work, we should be operating in the kingdom of heaven. When we go home and our children are, of course, my children never annoys me because she's just so cute and adorable, my child. But I know I work with a lot of your children. I understand if they annoy you. I'm messing with you. I'm kidding. I heard a lot of dads say amen. We need to talk about it. Anyway, I'm kidding. But when you go home and life's like, oh my gosh. Even in that moment, God says you are to operate in the kingdom of heaven. We're to operate under his kingdom and his rules, so to speak, his lifestyle. And that's obviously what he established. When you go to work and your boss is a jerk and things aren't good and you didn't get a lot of sleep and you want to take a break and cheat on your break time and take an extra hour and go to sleep, whatever it may be, you're called in that moment to operate in the kingdom of heaven and to do what God's called you to do in every situation of our life. That's what God came to do, to reveal that to us. And we see that in the Lord's Prayer. We've studied the Lord's Prayer together. Hopefully you've read it on your own. But whenever Jesus is telling the disciples how to pray, teaches how to pray, Jesus, he says what? At the very beginning, our Father which art in heaven, depends on if you're reading King James or whatever, but holy is your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's desire, his original plan was to have a heaven-like setting, a heaven-like kingdom on this earth. Let's go back all the way to the book of Genesis. That was his plan. That's right. God's plan was to establish a kingdom like heaven. God made mankind, made Adam in his own image. He says, Adam, you rule, you reign, you have authority, you subdue the earth. You're the boss. You're in charge. This is one thing I want you to do. Gave him some instruction, and he did everything else. God gave all authority to mankind. If I had a little whiteboard up here, I would draw this out for you, but I'm not going to. But I want you to I'm going to do little hand motions, which that could be scary too. But just imagine God created mankind on the earth and said, this is your kingdom. You rule. You reign. You have all authority. And then what happened, as we read, the enemy comes in and tempts and deceives, because he's the ultimate deceiver, right? Deceives mankind and says, here's what you should do. They do what Satan says you should do. They fall into that temptation. And in that very moment, mankind, who was the king, who was the ruler, who was the authority, Jesus basically said, you're the king of this place. They took that authority that they had been given and handed it over to Satan. handed over to the enemy. We see that in Scripture in whenever the Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness for 40 days. Do you remember Satan came up to Jesus knowing that the Messiah was to establish a kingdom and to be the king forever, and Satan obviously didn't want that. He was lacking his position as those with authority over the earth, and he says, here's the thing, I'll give you all authority. All authority has been given to me. Satan said that. Well, when did that happen? God never gave it to him. What happened was about 4,000 years before that time, Adam and Eve gave authority over to Satan. So all authority was Satan's at this moment. But in the wilderness, Jesus, as he lived his life, died, resurrected, he took that authority back. But authority was mankind. So we can see that God's plan, his original design, was to establish an open heaven over earth. What I mean by that is in the garden, there is no sickness, there is no disease, there is no sin, there is no strife or jealousy between one another. Things were perfect. It was, you could look over the Garden of Eden and think, whoa, look about heaven and go, whoa, it's pretty much the same. I mean, it was an open heaven. God walked in the garden. There was perfect relationship and communion with mankind before the sin came in, before we allowed Satan to have authority, right? So that's God's will. We can, in Scripture, if you ever want to know what God's perfect will is, there's two places you can look. The Garden of Eden, before sin, and heaven. The future, those two places, that is his will. That's what he desires. That's what he wants. No sickness, no disease, no death, no calamity. Everything good and holy, without sin, perfect. Sounds pretty good, right? I'm going to have to go back and reteach and say everything I've already said, unless you affirm some of this. I want to make sure you got it. That was his plan, his desire. And so where there is sickness, where there is disease, where there is death, where things aren't good, we can know that's not God's plan. Jesus prayed, Father God, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So if it's like that in heaven, that's the way we should be operating. And Jesus taught that and preached that with the kingdom of heaven. We're establishing the kingdom. Here's what you do. Now, turn to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 5 and just read a couple verses here. We can be pretty certain, according to God's original design, his plan was to establish the kingdom, was to for us to rule and reign as kings on the earth, as with authority, a perfect relationship and communion with God. He made us in his image. He wanted us to be like him so that we can have that perfect communion with him. So let's read in Revelation chapter 1. We screwed it all up. We gave Satan authority. Things were bad. But look what happens through Christ. See, whenever Satan tried to tempt Jesus, say, here, you can have authority back, Jesus knew, no, this isn't the way God desires me to get the authority back. I'm going to serve God the Father, and then I'll get authority back. And look what happens. This is in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. Verse 6, check this out. And made us a kingdom. He has made us a kingdom. Who has he made a kingdom? Those who he has saved from their sins by his blood. He's made us a kingdom. Priest to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion and forever. Amen. The word tells us, lays it out pretty clear, that God has made us a kingdom by his blood, saving us from our sin. And so that original kingship that God placed on mankind in the garden, and then we gave it over through his blood and his sacrifice, his grace and his love, he has won that authority back, and he has now made us a kingdom. I don't know about you, but I like the thought of getting to walk around as a kingdom, as kings. Let's turn over to Ephesians now. Just read a couple verses here. Ephesians chapter 2. Are you with me? Are you awake? We don't have to stand up and do the hokey pokey or anything, right? Okay, because I'll do it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. We're going to read 4, 5, and 6. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Verse 6, and raised us up. So he's made us alive together with Christ and raised us up with him, raised us up with Christ and seated us with Jesus in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ. Let's do a little, let's look at Jesus for a second. Jesus is on a throne, amen? That's a question. Amen? Do you agree? Jesus says, the Bible says that he will make the earth his footstool. Come on. He is the king. Jesus is the top dog now. Satan has no authority. Jesus has all authority. He is the king. And the scripture says, what we do oftentimes is we take our opinions and our thoughts and our background and our theology, and we read scripture and we try to make scripture say what we want it to say. But we got to read this, and what it says is God has seated us in the heavenly places with Christ. Christ is the ruler, has all authority, and if he has all authority, that means Satan has no authority over him, and God has picked us up and placed us right there with him, meaning we have authority. Come on, Satan has no authority over our life. He may try to put depression on you or sickness or disease, but the only way those things can come on us is if we allow them. And we do things that cause these things to happen. But God has given us all authority because he's given Christ all authority, and he's seated us at the right hand seated us with Christ. And if he's given authority, and that's what scripture says. It's easy to think of us as just a bunch of slaves and like, oh, we just go do whatever God wants us to do. But the scripture says something different. But we're a kingdom, and he's established a heavenly kingdom, and he set us there with him. What I love about this scripture is the scripture doesn't say someday after you die, you'll be seated with Christ. It's not what the scripture says. Whenever he saves us by his blood, by his grace, at that moment, you are seated in the heavenly realms with Christ. But we're here on the earth. I'm not seated. Your spirit man. See, there is a heavenly realm. It says in the heavenly places. Jesus hasn't established his throne on this earth yet. He will. And when that happens, we'll be with him and reign with him then. But in the spirit, in the heavenly realm, his throne is established, and we're with him in the spiritual realm. Now, on the earth, there are some things we may not walk in full authority yet. But in the heavenly realm, in the spiritual realm, we have the authority. God, through his love and mercy, has seated us with Christ, something to really just get a hold of. Here's what I love about God establishing his kingdom. He didn't establish a kingdom of slaves. See, we were kings, then we were made slaves, given our authority over to Lucifer, then we were slaves. The Bible says we were slaves to sin. But when Christ came and established his kingdom, then we're no longer a kingdom of slaves, but we're a kingdom of kings. How that works, the government system, oh no, there's an ultimate king, Jesus, and the kingdom is a kingdom of kings. Not slaves, not peasants, not poor, rich, and here's the little hierarchy, but a kingdom established of kings. Revelation chapter 19, verse 16. This is an amazing chapter. If you've never read Revelation, read it. It's awesome. Revelation chapter 19 is one of my favorite because it starts painting this picture of Jesus coming back and establishing on earth in the physical realm his spiritual and heavenly kingdom. And it talks about him coming down and his hair white as snow and eyes of fire and a sword coming out of his mouth. Awesome stuff. They should make a movie about that. I mean, it's just really cool stuff. Jesus coming back. And it says, as he comes back in his glory and in that heavenly spiritual realm, he comes back as king, and on his robe and on his thigh, there's a name written. And the name is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I've read that, and I've sung it, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But I was reading one day, and the Holy Spirit just like downloaded this into me, what that actually says. It says he is the King of who? Kings. Whoa. Somebody needs a whoop whoop. King of Kings. We are king. Is he your king? Come on. Okay, if he is your king, is he your Lord? That means that we are kings. We are lords. We're not the King of Kings. He is. I'm not trying to teach some mystical God is, we are God and everyone's God. And there's a weird teaching out there that like that tree is God and I am God and we are all God. That's stupid. That's ignorant. That's foolishness. That's not what I'm saying. And if you're twisting my words here, come on, let's pray for some discernment. That's not what I'm saying. Jesus is the king, but so are we. We are kings under the authority of the ultimate king. It's exciting. That's what his kingdom looks like. And he never says that you've got to wait until you die to enter into the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. Revelation chapter 19, verse 16. It's cool that this is Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, the apostles. He just got through speaking to Peter. And here's what he says. He says, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosened or loosed in heaven. Think about what that scripture is saying here. He's saying, look, you're kings. You gave authority away. Satan had the keys to death and hell. But I came, if we know the gospel, we know that Jesus took the keys of death and the grave. He has authority over in the spiritual realm. And he says, guess what, guys? I'm going to give you the keys. I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. And as kings, as we receive that authority and the kingship, the keys, then he says you can bind anything on this earth and it's bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on this earth, it's loosed in heaven. How do we have that authority? How can we bind here on earth and it be bound in heaven? Because in the spiritual realm, we're seated with Christ in the heavenly places. And so, but we're here on earth. So as we're here on earth, something comes to attack my family. See, this is where dads, you need to know your role as king. Moms, you need to know your role as king. Something, sickness comes on your kid, a calamity that you just cannot shake. Here's what I hate. Oh, I hate it. It draws me to my knees. It calls me to pray and intercede and ask for more presence of God. But whenever I see Christians who are constantly sick, I'm like, oh God, that's not the kingdom. That's not what we're supposed to be living like. Now, it's not like you're some horrible Christian if you're always sick, but let me tell you have authority to bind anything on the earth, and in the heavenly places, it is bound. If we understand that we don't walk around as kings lording over people. Jesus didn't walk around as a king who lorded over people. He came as a servant king who everything he did was for others. And as us walking as kings, we are to do the same thing, live a life for others. But there's a certain amount of your own life that you have the authority and I don't. I can speak over you and speak over you and speak over you. But if you're not living as royal king, doesn't matter what I say. Because you have the authority. God has given you the keys in the heavenly places. And what the Bible says, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosened in heaven. And as a king, let me just tell you, when sickness comes on your family, boy, you start binding that. Bind it. Whatever it may be, in Jesus, and we speak it out. Kings, whenever they declare something, if you've ever watched, I don't know, Braveheart or any of those movies with the kings, or you read the little fairy tales of a king, when a king says something, that's it. That's what happens. Are you with me? And if we are kings in a heavenly realm, when we say something and we release it, we declare it, then it's said. And so whenever something comes on us, I'm a king in a heavenly kingdom. I'm not of the earth. I'm in the earth, but I have authority in the spiritual realm. Right now, cancer, you cannot touch my daughter. Cancer, you cannot touch my children. Sickness, depression, demons of hell, you have no authority over my children. What we do a lot of times is we like to, you know, say things like that, but then we go off and we let them do things that's going to welcome demons. I'm just going to take a little rabbit trail here. A lot of times, oh, I'm a king. No depression can be on my child, but you let them watch movies, it's going to obviously depress them. They're having nightmares of demons attacking them in the night, and they just got through watching Freddy Krueger. Okay, you're not operating as a good king. Here's something a king does. A king in his kingdom protects the kingdom. A king in the kingdom directs the kingdom. The king looks over his people and loves his people. And as a king in this earth at your home, you better protect your home. You protect your kingdom. I'm not allowing these demons through alcohol, these demons through pornography in my home. If a smartphone is allowing demons in my home, I'm getting rid of smartphones because I'm a king. Not to lord over people, but to love people. Man, this is good stuff. If we can get it, it'll change the community. We've been given the kingdom. What does it mean to loose things on earth? There are times where I need the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, to be loosened on my life, or I need health, or I need joy. I need the fruit of the Spirit. And it's in my ability, with the words I speak, with the things I do, with my actions, with my faith, that those things can be released on this earth through us. See, just like the prophet, God wants to use mankind to usher in his presence, right? We should be praying, God, let your kingdom come on this earth. That song we did tonight, that is the prayer of Christ. Let your kingdom come, God. Let your will be done in this earth. Change the atmosphere. Here's what my desire is, that I believe that if one church, I believe other churches are on the track of doing this, but if one church, the people of the church, can get a hold of the spiritual authority that they have as kings in a heavenly kingdom, then the whole atmosphere of a nation or of a community, at least that community, will be different. I've walked in towns that had a very high crime rate, a very high drunken alcohol rate, all that kind of stuff, and you walk in and you can feel, if you have any kind of discernment, you can feel the spiritual oppression and darkness over that place. Could you imagine if all of a sudden revival broke out in that city and everybody started, the bars started getting shut down and the drugs and the crime rate just all left and God just showed up because of people bringing in his will? There wouldn't be that darkness over that city or community anymore. There's a spirit of poverty over certain areas, and as kings, we can come in and we can bind that and teach and declare and proclaim and usher in his presence and open heaven and loosen the kingdom of heaven, and things can be different. Life could be so good, and actually, it's good. My life's good. I hope your life is good too. See, we have merely scratched the surface of understanding who we are in Christ. I mean, we look like here's what my dad would say this, look like a bunch of ignorant ants trying to build a motor. You know, can you imagine a bunch of ants doing that? They have no idea what they're doing. I feel like a lot of times, sometimes Christians, we're kind of like those ants, thinking about God and thinking about our who we are in Christ. We're trying to figure this out, but it's so complex, but really, God's made it easy in the Spirit. I mean, we have such authority and such power and glory that we can be walking in, but we're just scratching the surface. We don't have to go to hell anymore. Whew, good. But when Jesus says, seek the kingdom, seek and you will find, he desires us to seek. Romans 4:17, I love this, says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So how are we supposed to live as kings in this kingdom? Righteousness. Walk in righteousness and holiness before God. Walk in peace in the kingdom. There's peace. Whenever a king sees an enemy coming and they see how much of a wimp that enemy is, they have peace. All right, soldiers, come on, let's go. Let's go take care of this problem. There's peace. No reason to get, oh my gosh, we're sick again, and oh my gosh, I'm just depressed, and we don't have any money, and oh my, the kingdom of heaven is peace. God established a kingdom of it's good. You know what I'm saying? Peace and joy. Man, I'm tired of depressed Christians. That's like an oxymoron. Depressed Christian doesn't belong together. I'm tired of it. God has established a kingdom of joy. Come on, joy. Yay! Right? Joy. We're called to walk in that kind of lifestyle. And every time you don't, what you're doing when you allow a depression on you and you're not, you know, you just don't operate the way God has established for us to walk in, what we're saying is, okay, I'm going to step out of the kingdom realm for a second and I'm going to live according to the earth. See, there's a teaching that I understand the heart behind it. I understand what they're saying, but the statement is wrong. It's not biblical. Hear my heart when I say this, but I've actually said it before, and I had to be corrected on it. But the statement, too, heavenly-minded to be any earthly good, that's impossible. You can't be too heavenly minded to be earthly good. The teaching behind that, and what most people who say that, here's what they mean, and this is right. Okay, so I'm not arguing with this point. You can be too focused on going to heaven and of this future glory and getting to heaven. Oh, I'm going to get to heaven. I'm going to get to heaven. That you're no earthly good. You're not. You're ineffective for Christ. But you can't be too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. Here's the truth. In the areas that you're not being effective in for the kingdom of heaven, those are the areas you're not heavenly minded in. Think about it. If you're being ineffective as a godly father, that means you're not being kingdom-minded of how a father operates. You're not looking at the father, the heart of Father God. If you're not a very good husband, you're not looking at Jesus as the ultimate bridegroom. So we need to get heavenly-minded focus. Kings are always kingdom-minded. Now, we don't operate as our own kingdom. I always think about what I'm doing, what I'm building, but we should always be kingdom of heaven minded in everything we do. And if we do that, we look at the kingdom of heaven, we look at God's glory, we look at his presence, what we can do is we can establish those things in our life as we're kingdom minded. Again, that teaching, most people who I've ever heard teach that what they mean is when we get to heaven, you can be too focused on going to heaven that you're no good. And that's true. You can be so focused on a future glory and never be effective on earth. But we should always be kingdom-minded. We should always be heavenly-minded. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20, the kingdom of God does not consist of talk, but in power. See, we are kings in a heavenly kingdom, like it or not. Doesn't mean you're a good one, but you can be. Operating in the kingdom of heaven. Go through the Gospels and see what Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like. It will blow you away. That the kingdom of heaven is not about getting all the riches on earth and all this building up for myself, but the kingdom of heaven is about honoring God and serving people as good kings. Now, see, there is a spiritual... Ben, go ahead and come on up here. I want to do something a little different tonight. I'm going to go 5 minutes over, I think. Maybe 3 minutes over. Maybe one of the welcome team can go back and warn the kids' church. I may be 5 minutes late. That way they don't come up and get too mad at me. Go ahead and stand. Here's what I want to do. There is a heavenly realm that we are to operate in on this earth. There is an attitude. There is a kingship. There is an authority, there is a will of God that we are to bring into this earth and walk as royalty in the power of God, in the glory of God in Christ Jesus, right? But it's only, those things only come through people. Whenever God pours his spirit out, does he pour his spirit out on the rocks and they start crying out? No, he pours his spirit out on people. God wants to do a mighty thing in this earth. And I believe we're in the last of the last days. And I believe the Bible says, I think it's in Haggai or Malachi, that the latter rain, the later glory will be even greater than the previous glory. God wants to do something on this earth and establish his kingdom. I wish that anybody operating or who has any kind of disease or sickness or calamity or evil, unclean spirit, as soon as they walk on this campus, they feel a release because there's an open heaven here.
Yeah.
Come on, our attitudes here are different. Our lifestyles, because we know that we are kings in a heavenly kingdom and we're going to start operating like that in our homes, in our workplaces, and God's glory is going to fill the earth. So normally at the end of a service, if you want to have a little bit of ministry time, you dim the lights and you have a slow song going. Man, all right, let's pray and be in the presence of God. Here's what I want us to do. I want us to make a decree as kings. As kings, we make decrees. And we declare things, we bind things on earth, and we loosen things on earth, and so they can be loosened and bound in heaven in the spiritual realm.
We hope that you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. For more messages or information about Christian Ministries Church, go to www.cmchurch.net.